welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves continuing our series in the book of Exodus and beginning to see unfold the story of Moses. When we look back at the beginning of the book, we see the incredible way that God protected this little baby Moses, watched over him, and God, of course, had his plan, and his plan was ultimately that Moses would one day go to the Pharaoh and that he would lead the people out of the slavery of Egypt. There had been a number of plagues, and these had been devastating. Some of them had been replicated by Pharaoh's magicians and men who were close to him, very much witchcraft and evil. But there was a final plague that no one would want to replicate, and it was the death of the firstborn. The children of Israel in chapter 12, they're told to get ready. They've got to get ready because they really are going to leave this time. They had hoped to leave after probably the first plague, but now this message was coming across, get ready. And they're told to get ready in a particular way. It's something that's done by household. It requires a lamb for each household, and the blood of that lamb is going to be placed quite deliberately over the top of the door and on the door posts either side. Now that's significant because, you see, an angel of death is going to be commissioned to pass over the land. And where there is the blood of the lamb, the angel of death will literally pass over. He just will not stop. He will just keep moving. But where there is no blood, there will be death, and there will be the death of the firstborn of all those households. It's a devastating plague. It's going to have massive impact. The Egyptians are going to be thoroughly distraught. And, well, they get ready, the Israelites, they do what they're told, they get into their households. There's a simple meal prepared, and in fact, in years to come, even today, that same simple meal is partook of in Hebrew Jewish households as they look back to the momentous day when they were set free from their slavery. Well, the angel of death indeed does pass over, and there is death in the Egyptian household. It's just something horrendous, something awful to describe, and we cannot imagine the grief that comes upon family after family waking up in Goshen, which is the part of Egypt where the Hebrew people were, waking up and discovering that the firstborn child had died. And this was going on all over the area. And you can imagine mothers and fathers running out into the street saying, my child has just suddenly died. No reason. He wasn't sick last night, but he's now dead. Only to meet people who say, and that's exactly what's happened to me. But what also has happened is that in the Pharaoh's own household, there has been a death. And at last, after the stubborn refusal to let the people of God go, now Pharaoh gives the order, let the people go. The people are just committed to getting these Hebrew people out. They have the fear, well, if we let them stay, if we don't let them go, well, there's going to be more death. If the firstborn has died in all these homes, what's going to happen to the rest of us? Well, the people begin to make their journey. And we'll pick up what happens in a future program. But for now, let's just pause, listen to some worship. And my good friend Patrick will come alongside and we'll look again at what happened that night that the angel of death passed over.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will seek your face. My soul thirsts after you in a land dry and weary. You bring streams of living water. Oh, how my soul thirsts after you. My lips will glorify your name, and I will praise you all my
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Exodus chapter 12. The Passover, Richard. I suppose really this chapter contains two elements. Firstly, there's the death of the firstborn, the final plague. And secondly, there's the Exodus itself.
Yep.
You explained earlier on that the word the Passover refers to this question of how the angel of death passed over when he saw the blood on the doorways.
Yes, that's right. It's an amazing thing, Passover, just to, in other words, not visit, not to intervene, not to bring judgment, just literally passing over.
So the people of Israel were protected from this death of the firstborn.
That's right. That blood on their doors was a symbol of their trusting God for his protection.
Yeah. Now, you were saying, you know, how terrible a plague it was. How are we today to react to something like this? Because, as you say, it is quite difficult to understand, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I believe that we need to bear in mind that God was going to send his son. Now, in the sense of the way Jesus came into this world, we may need to think about the term firstborn. But Jesus is the only Son of God. There are not loads of them, in the sense that there is a uniqueness about Jesus. And I think that the context is very much urging us to recognize that, yes, God brought a judgment, firstborn, the sons dying in the houses, but this was a prelude to a much, much greater sacrifice. God was going to send his own son, and his own son would shed his blood in order that we all can be saved. That doesn't necessarily emotionally satisfy everything, but theologically we can see that this death of the firstborn was pointing to a much, much more significant death, a saviour who would give his life for us.
And how important is the Passover as an event in the story, the history of the people of Israel?
Well, it became a very, very significant event because they remembered regularly the incredible deliverance. We've got to remember, we have several hundred thousand people who are in slavery. We're not talking about a tiny number. There's a very big number of people, and they were trapped, and they were facing an incredibly harsh life under which many of them would have died. They just wouldn't have been able to stand the pace and the oppression of the Egyptian taskmaster. So to be set free from that and to be able to go back to their land. Remember, Joseph had already told them, look, don't let me have a final resting place here. God's plan is for you to get back into the land promised to you. So all of that is significant. They're on their way back to where they really belong. And they've woken up to the horror and reality that Egypt was never meant to be a permanent home.
And it's one of the things that the Jews still commemorate to this day, don't they?
Well, they do. And of course, that is interesting and significant again, because it was at the Passover where Jesus took bread and wine and spoke about his blood being shed and his body being given, which ties in with what I said earlier about this is pointing towards an incredible sacrifice. And it was at the Passover that Jesus picks up this very theme, bread and wine.
So perhaps let's not get too bogged down in the horror of the event itself, but more use it to look ahead to what happens subsequently.
Well, that's right, because however horrible and hard the death of a loved one is, and of course it is immensely difficult, what we have to remember is that our biggest problem is not the fact that we will physically die, but it's our spiritual state. And what's going on here is a picture of spiritual slavery. And we can be released from that, so that even though we die, that is not such a terrible thing from the point of view that ultimately we can be set free from our sin, from the power of Satan, and have a home in heaven. And that's a glorious deliverance. That's a wonderful freedom from slavery.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.